Praise the Lord. You know, as the day keeps approaching when Jesus returns, which is coming, you know, coming soon, amen? And I know that I always say, you know, when I remember when I was a kid, I was convinced that Jesus was returning within, before I finished high school and before I could go to college. And I thought, why go to college? Jesus is coming back. Well, you can tell that was a long time ago, and Jesus isn't here yet. But I had the privilege of sitting under Joe Morris, who's an end times expert scholar, and just listening to him, and just all of the prophecies. They've all been fulfilled. You know, it's time. And I'm not saying it's going to be tomorrow, and I'm not saying it's going to be any day. I'm just saying it's going to be soon. Amen? And as that day approaches, the Bible says the goodness of God will cover the earth, will fall out on the earth. Amen? And as we are singing that song, all of heaven roars your name, the world will try to tell you in media, the media will try to tell you that the voice of Christians is getting softer. But the voice of believers is getting louder. Amen? It's getting louder. Don't fall for that. Don't fall for that lie. Here's just a statistic that will help you. More people go to church, Jesus-filled churches. More people go to Christian churches every single Sunday than all of the people combined that go to every sporting event in the world. That's a true state. That's a true statement. But the world will try to, the media and the voices will try to say, oh, you're the few. You're the few. It doesn't matter how many we are the powerful. Amen. We are the remnant, the Bible says. We are the salt of the earth. You've heard that saying, oh, that person's the salt of the earth. Like that means something good. It does. We're here to preserve. We're here to speak the gospel. We're here to be the light. Amen. That's what we're here for. And our voices are getting louder. Amen. They're getting louder. And so today we're going to, last week was so good with Ray Jean. Wasn't that so good? He just taught such a great message here in first service on tithing. And then in second service, the Holy Spirit went a different way and he laid hands on people. People were healed and set free. And it was so powerful. And I'm just so grateful that we're a spirit-filled church. Amen? I'm so grateful that the Holy Spirit is welcome to move, and we'll say, you know what, our agenda doesn't matter, yours does. Amen? What we have in mind is not what's important. It's what God has in mind. Amen? And so he laid hands on people, prayed for them, and it was just very powerful service. So good to have him here. But today we're going to pick back up with our You Asked For It, and this is we're gonna close up. And we saved this last question, and I get asked this question a lot. That's why I picked it. And the last question is, you guys ready?
Yeah.
Who do I vote for? I'm kidding. I'm kidding. You know why I say that? Because that seems to be all anybody's thinking about. And that is important, but there are other things that are way more important. Amen? What God says is more important. And you know, I do get actually, that is a question that I got asked a lot. And I'm not going to, I can preach who to vote for in like 30 seconds. You take the candidates and you study them for yourself, not what so-and-so posted or this person posted, but you go to the source. That's what I've always preached. You want to know the truth, go to the source. You go to the source and you look at what each one believes in, what each one stands for, what each one has planned, and then you say which one of these two lines up the most with what I believe, what I want for my nation, what I believe is the right thing, what I believe God is speaking to me to do, and that's who you vote for. It's pretty simple, right? That's pretty simple. And so I'm not going to, people are asking me, hey, do one on who do I vote for? I'm like, no, that's not going to happen. You know, people are always after me to say, you know, endorse or this. And I tell people this, and I don't apologize for it. I know there are other pastors that are very political and will stand behind their pulpits and say names and do all that. And that's between them and the Lord. But this is what I believe the Lord told me. I'm not in the temporary business. I'm in the eternal business. Amen? Whatever happens in this election, believe it or not, it's temporary. What happens in your heart, your spirit, every Sunday that I preach is eternal. And I'm not going to alienate 50% of my congregation because, for a temporary matter. Where you spend eternity is far more important to me than who you vote for.
Amen.
Amen? It's way more important to me. And so on personal levels, of course, I will vote, of course. And I'll do exactly what I just told you. I'll take both candidates, and I'll hold them to the word. I'll hold them to what the word says. And just quite honestly and frankly, and if this offends you, I apologize, but neither one of them line up very well. Neither one. Neither one. We don't have very good choices. But this is where we are. But the Holy Spirit can lead you in tough choices. Amen? He can lead you in those tough choices. And so, you know, whoever you vote for, I love you. I care about you. It's a temporary matter. And I'm in the eternal business. Amen? I'm in the eternal business. So if you come and ask me, who do I vote for? I've probably had 20 people ask me that. Who should I vote for? I just don't know. Do exactly what I just said. God will speak to you. That's the right of voting. But with rights comes responsibility. So find out for yourself. Go into the source. Amen? If somebody's talking about you, who do you want them to find out the truth from? You. Amen? And so we got to go. You say, well, we could hold them both up to here, and they're both going to be lacking. That's just the truth. But the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you. Amen? God's got a plan for our nation, and I believe it's bigger than the presidency. No matter who gets in there, I believe the plan of God will still come to pass. But regardless of how you feel about one candidate or the other, I encourage you to pray for both of them. Because one of them is going to be the president, whether you like it or not. And so we need to pray for both of them now. Amen? Some of you are like, I'm not praying for that. Jesus will help you. He will help you. Amen? And so I'm not going to preach on that. I was really kind of just joking, but I didn't want to answer it because that is probably one of the top questions I got asked. I don't want you to think I'm ignoring you. I'm not. And that's what I would tell anybody that said, who do I vote for? I would say, pray about it. Take the things to the word. And make your decision. Amen? You're a responsible adult. Be responsible. Go to the source and make a decision. Amen? But the real question today is a far more important question. I believe a far more important question. You guys ready for it? This is a good one. How do I share my faith? You know, a lot of people are saying, people say like, where do you go to church? And I answer them, but I feel like I want to say more, but I don't know what to say. I want to talk to people on my job about my faith and what's important to me, but I don't know what to say. Anybody ever been there? I just don't know what to say. And so today we're going to talk and we're going to help you with what to say. And so it's, how do I share my faith? Some people have no problem at all sharing their faith. They're just little preaching machines. They got no problem. And then there's the rest of us who maybe you're a little shy in those situations and you just don't know what to say. And you want to say something and you walk away, you don't say anything. And so today I just want to talk about what it means to share your faith and why it's so important and what the word has to say about it. Because I tell you, in the times that we live in now, people need to know who God is. They need to know Jesus. They need to know the answer to their problems is not found in a pill, it's not a prescription, it's not in a bottle, it's not in a needle, it's not in a video game, it's not in TV, it's not in escaping reality, it's dealing with reality. And the reality is, we need Jesus. Yes. Amen? You know, on Saturdays we're doing a connect group and we're walking around and praying for our neighborhood, and not this Saturday, but the Saturday before, I think it was, We just prayed that as we went, because as Jesus went, when he would walk through the villages, when he would walk through the places, he would see the needs of people, and he met those needs. They would bring out sick people, and he would pray for them, and they'd be healed. They would bring questions and he would answer them. He would minister to them and teach them. He taught them that he was the answer. And so as we were walking through the neighborhood before we left, we just stood in here and we prayed that as we walked, that we would see, that we would recognize and have compassion for every home, for every person in it, because everybody has problems. And we prayed that the people in those homes and anybody we came in contact with, that they would see that the answer is Jesus, because he is the answer. The answer is not in an election. The answer is in changed hearts. Amen? You can't change people with laws. You can only change people when their heart changes. And who can change hearts? Jesus. Amen? And so sharing our faith is important. The Bible says over in Mark 16:15. I know we have it on the NIV, I think, right? Will you pull it up for me? Because I don't have that one. I got another translation. It says, go. Jesus said to his followers. Who's a follower of Jesus? Right? If you're going to follow Jesus, that means you let him lead. You let Jesus lead. A lot of times we want to lead our lives. We want to have our plan and say, Lord, here's my plan. Bless it. That's not how it works. It's let Jesus lead and let his plan become our plan. Amen? That's how we get it blessed. But he says, and his disciples went forth and came into the city and found as he had said unto them. That's not the right one. That is totally not right. It's 16:15. Here, I'm like, what? Passover? Let me read it to you. He says, go everywhere. Look at your neighbor and say everywhere.
Everywhere.
Go everywhere in the world and tell the good news to everyone. Go everywhere in the world and tell the good news to everyone. Now, I grew up in a denominational church. I grew up in a very fundamental Baptist church. Anybody's ever wondering where I grew up? In a fundamental Baptist church. That means there are lots of rules. Not as many as Pastor D had, but lots of rules. We could play games and go to the movie, but the thing was is that witnessing was a big thing. It was just huge. Like every Saturday, we'd be like, ding, 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 ding. And people would open the door. And that it was great. And a lot of people got born again. But see, here's the thing. Don't think that's the only way to witness. Don't think that. Because really, the most effective way to tell someone or to have somebody come into the family of God is what I'm going to tell you today, how to share your faith this way. Because when you think about witnessing, because as soon as we start saying, like, how to share your faith, you think that I'm going to try to get you to go door to door and talk to people that you don't know, and it'd be all awkward, right? Is that what some of you guys think? Like, and so you've already checked out. Check back in, because I'm going to tell you how to share your faith with relationships. And that's the number one way to do it. Because if you think about a witness, what does a witness do? A witness tells what they have experienced. In a courtroom, you have the judge, you have the prosecutor, you have the defender, and you have the witness, right? We're not the judge, although we like doing that a lot, right? But that's not our job. We're not the prosecutor. That's not our job either. Don't immediately try to tell people where they need to change. Like some people, your idea of witnessing is just telling somebody all the wrong things in their life. That is not going to work. Jesus didn't do that. Jesus did not do that. We're not the prosecutor and we're not the defender. You do not need to defend God. God can take care of himself. God can take care of himself. Some people, you're not effective in telling people about your faith because all you want to do is tell people how wrong they are and how right you are. And you know what? They're already turned off to you. I hate to break the news to you, but they're already done with you. Nobody wants to hear how wrong they are and how right you are. It's not about being right. It's about being effective. Amen? Some people are like, I've got all the right answers. No one's listening to you. No one is listening. You know, your family is already turned off because you've got all the right answers. That's not what they're looking for. They're not looking for that. And that's not what Jesus did. That's not what Jesus did. We're the witness. I'm the witness. And to share my faith effectively, I need to tell people what God has done in my life. Amen? That's what a witness does, right? A witness tells what they saw, what they experienced, what happened. And that's what I'm to do. So when we're talking about sharing our faith, this is how we're talking about doing it. Colossians says this, Colossians chapter 4, 5 and 6. I'll read it to you. It says, be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. It doesn't say be loud. It doesn't say be a bully. It doesn't even say be right. Be wise. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Now listen to this next part. We need to underline this in our Bible. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Do you know that there's an answer in you for every question? You know how I know that? Because the Spirit of God lives on the inside of you. The hope of glory is on the inside of you. The light of the world is on the inside of you. It may not be the answer you think because you always want to be right or be filled with knowledge. It isn't about the knowledge. It isn't about the being right. It's about the grace. Amen? It's about the grace. This is Paul writing. He says, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. You know, I don't know about you, but I know before I was in church and I was out of church and just, you know, struggling in some areas, a lot of areas. I tell you, thank God for the healing power of Jesus, because damage was done by believers. People who wanted to be right and tell me all my wrong, you didn't do anything but hurt me and push me a little further from the Lord. And that's not what Jesus does. Jesus never compromised. He never embraced sin. But it was always the love, then the correction. And so often people want to give what's wrong with you before they love you. We can't do that. That's not how Jesus did it. I'm not going to tell you what's wrong with you and expect you to change, because that doesn't work. Jesus loved people. And then he showed them the right way. Amen? And so Paul writes here and he says, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace. You know, last night, every Saturday, I go to Publix. Every Saturday, I go to Publix. It's like my last errand for the day. And I buy the gift cards, which I left in my office. I buy the gift cards for our giveaway. And I love to do it. I love to do it because I just get excited. Somebody's going to win. And I think about somebody that is going to get to go to lunch that maybe didn't have any cash. And I just think that's part of what church is all about. Amen? I think it's part of church. And so I usually go to the same cash register person. But I went to a different person this time. And this man obviously was probably... just from his words, he probably wasn't a Christian. And so I'm buying all this stuff, and I bought all these gift cards, and he said, oh, is it somebody's birthday? And I said, no, what is this? It's an opportunity. It's an opportunity. And I said, no, I said, we give these away at church every Sunday. He goes, what do you mean you give them away? I said, well, we have a drawing. Everybody gets a ticket. And he's like, in church? And I said, yeah. I said, everybody gets a ticket, and then at the end of the service, we pick a ticket, and that person wins. And he said, so anybody can win. I said, anybody's got a ticket. And he goes, why do you do that? I said, because we're givers. I said, we're givers, and Jesus is a giver. And he looked at me, he said, you got good karma going. You got good karma going. And I said, it's not karma. I said, Jesus lives in me, right? And I could tell at that moment he was done with the conversation. He was done. But that's okay, Because the Holy Ghost will tell you when somebody's done. And when someone's done, be done. Be done. Because they're not hearing you anymore. And so I said, I ended the conversation. And I told him, I said, I come in here every Saturday to get these. And I said, I'll see you next Saturday. And he said, okay. And so I've got a new target. Amen. I got a new target. And so you know what I'm going to do all this week? I'm going to pray for him. I'm going to pray for him. And every time I go to Publix, I'm going to try to get in his line. I'll wait longer to get in his line because he opened the door. And I'm going to be wise and make the most of every opportunity. Amen? I'm going to make the most of every opportunity. How do I share my faith? Got to be wise. And so here's just a couple things to help out with how we share our faith. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 3:15, it says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Did you hear that? Let me read it again. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Always be prepared. So when somebody says, man, what's going on in your life? Be prepared. Hey, what's changed in you? Be prepared. Hey, what's happening in you? Be prepared. Hey, you're always happy. Be prepared. Hey, how'd that situation work out? Be prepared. Be prepared. We all need to have a little 1 or 2 minute prep, just prepared. Like, hey, this is why I have the hope I have. Because of what Jesus did for me. Because there was a time that I was lost. Lost in my own thoughts. Lost in my own head. Lost in depression. There was a time I didn't know what end was up. There was a time when I cried myself to sleep every night. But God came in. And I can't explain it to you. I don't have the knowledge to explain it to you. I can only tell you the experience that I had. God changed my life. I was once this way, and now I am this way. Because of Jesus. People are not interested in the National Geographic, the History Channel. They're not interested in the History Channel explanation of Jesus. They want to know what Jesus has done in you. Amen. They want to know what Jesus has done. They want to know what's happened to you. And so the Bible says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Why do you have hope? Because of Jesus. Amen? Always. And then, so how am I going to share my faith? Number one thing, you got to connect with people. You got to connect because there are opportunities and there are targets and there are people that God wants to use you in their life. There are people. There's a cashier at Publix. There's a hostess at 2J's. There's a waitress at 2J's. Or wherever you go, there's somebody God wants to use you to work in their life. But if we're not connecting, if we're just, and you know, sometimes, just you gotta, as you say, well, who do I connect with? Someone who opens the door or someone the Lord leads you to? Someone who opens the door, like that cashier did, or someone who God leads you to. There are certain people that the Lord just boom, as soon as I see him, I'll be like, God's put that person on my heart. And I don't even know them. And of course, your family. So often people are like, man, I want my family to get in church. I want my family to get born again. My family really needs Jesus. And I'm like, well, you know, are you connected with them? No, we don't talk because they don't go to church. What kind of message are you sending? That's totally the wrong answer. Now, I realize there are toxic situations in families and you got to be spirit-led, but we don't cut people out of our life because they don't go to church. The relationship might change a little, but I'm here to connect with you, to share with you what God has done in my life. I can't do that if I don't connect with you. Now listen, don't be going, all you single people, don't be going out and dating people who aren't believers. I'm connecting with you. No, that's not how that works. That's a whole nother message, but that is not how that works. Listen, I heard Ray Jean said this on Tuesday night. He said, don't try to minister to what you're tempted by. Isn't that good? Don't try to be the minister for what you're tempted by. And all you single people, you don't need to be ministering to a bunch of heathen. That means don't go to church, don't have Jesus. People, like, oh, I'm ministering to them. No, that's not your job. That's my job. Your job is to get ministered to and find somebody that you're equally yoked to. That's another message. I'm going to just keep going there. But we got to connect with people, amen? In those opportunities when we can just breeze by people, let's slow down a little bit. Love is slow, right? Love is slow. Love is loud. Let's not be in such a hurry. Let's slow down a little bit when we're out and about and just take a second to hear the voice of the Holy Ghost, who somebody might be the person you need to connect to. The Bible tells us in Luke 19:10, it says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. And if we're a church with a heart for lost people, we can't be in such a hurry when we're around them. Amen? We can't be in such a hurry when we're around people that don't know Jesus. We don't want anything to do with them because we're in a hurry to get to church. That's what you're here for. Amen? That's what the church is here for. We're here to seek the lost, to connect with the lost. And, you know, sometimes we can lose our heart for the lost, and a good way to get it back is to remember when you were lost. Remember the pain you felt. Remember the feeling of disconnection you had. Remember the feeling of nothing seemed to add up. Remember those feelings of depression and those feelings of hopelessness and those feelings of uncertainty and not knowing. Remember all those feelings that you had when you were lost. It did give you a heart back for the lost. Amen? So I need to connect with people. Let's not be in such a rush. Let's look for opportunities. Lord, use me here. Use me here. At your workplace. Listen, you don't get paid to preach the gospel. You get paid to work. Amen? But ask God for opportunities on the break time or after work or things like that where you can share your faith, where you can share what God has done for you. Look for people to open doors, for people to say, you know, you're there for a purpose. God has you there for a purpose. You're not there by accident. You're at whatever classroom you're in. You're there for a purpose. Whatever job place you're at, you're there for a purpose. Every person that comes in contact with you, you're there for a purpose. God is sending people to you. They're looking for light, and they're going to find you. Amen? Even now, I've been in full-time ministry for 20 years now, and even now, just honestly, I personally, one-on-one, led more people to the Lord when I was in the workplace full-time than I do now. Like, of course, I give an altar call and people get born again, but I'm talking about that one-on-one time. I led more, why? Because I had more opportunity. Every day I would walk into work and I'd be like, this is my mission field. I am here to make a difference. I didn't walk into the office and say, all right, everybody, I got a message for you. No, I lived my life, and I let Jesus shine through me, and people came to me. The same person that was telling the dirty joke that I had to walk out of when everybody was gone, that same person would be the one come back and say, hey, can you pray for me? Same person. Some of those people go to church here right now today. Some of those people. People say, man, I want to be in the ministry. You are in the ministry. We're all in the ministry. The definition of ministry is to meet the needs of people. And the needs of the people that you work with, your family members, the people that you come in contact with, their need is they need Jesus. But we have this idea in our head that we got to wear a t-shirt that says turn or burn, right? Those used to be popular. And as soon as they come in, we're like, man, you don't go to church. You need to get in church. You need to quit doing this. You need to quit doing that. You need to stop this. You need to stop. And the person's like, whoa, I was looking for light, and all I found was all my wrongs. People are drawn to light. They're drawn to love, the light of God that's in you, the love of God that's in you. That's what they're drawn to. And when people come, that's what we got to give. So connect with people. And the next thing is share your story. Share your story. Matthew 5:16 says, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. You got your Bible with you. Underline how many yours are in there. This is personal. It's personal. He says, let your light shine. That light comes when you get born again. You got the light of God in you. We're to let it shine. Let it shine. That they may see your good deeds. You know, if you're here today and you and most everybody here, you have a job somewhere else, you need to be the best employee that's there. Don't be the complainer. Don't be the gossiper. Don't be the pain in the rump person. Don't be that person. Be the helper. Be the reconciler. Be the one who strives for excellence. Let your good deeds, let your light shine and let your good deeds, right? He says that they may see your good deeds. Ask yourself, what are people seeing when they see me? Isn't that a good question? What do people see when they see me? Do they see my light? Because it says, let your light shine. See, people want to, you know, sometimes people want to just drag somebody to the pastor. You want them to see my light. No, they need to see your light. Amen? Your light. You need to see your good deeds. And then he says, and glorify your Father in heaven. You want to make your light shine a little brighter? You want to have a little more good deeds? Make sure you're glorifying the Father. Give God all the glory. And it says in Acts 1:8, out of the New Living, it says, you will be my witnesses telling people about me everywhere. You'll be my witnesses telling people about me everywhere. But the best way to share your faith, in my personal opinion, is that those people you got contact with on a regular basis. Ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, open a door for me. Holy Spirit, fill my mouth with the right words to say. Let my light shine in this workplace. Let the excellence of God shine through me. Let the love of God shine through me. Let the patience of God, the wisdom of God shine through me. Let them see that I do good deeds because of the Father. I'm to go everywhere and tell everybody about Jesus. But I do it as a witness. I do it as a witness. I don't do it puffed up with knowledge. I don't do it puffed up with judgment. I don't do it puffed up with anything. A witness tells their story. A witness tells their story. Now, I read something. I don't want to embarrass them, but they're in here today. And I always like to ask people's permission before I, like, call them out, you know, in service. Unless you're on the front row, then you're fair game. But I read somebody's Facebook post the other day, and it blessed me so much. I was so blessed. I was so blessed. I had like tears in my eyes. They're not even my friend on Facebook. I don't know why, but no, I'm just kidding. But they were talking, they checked in at church, and they were talking about how the more they come, it's just the more they come to church, the more they know God, and the more excited they get, and the more it changes their life. And I was like, man, that's what it's all about. You know what that person just did? They just told their story. You just witnessed. Witnessed. You got to get out of this mindset if you're a raised mic like me. The witness it is this. Do you know that if you were to die, and that's good and that's great. It's great, but some people are like, they'll just tell you whatever you need to hear to get you off their porch, you know, or to get you out of their face. Nothing happened in their hearts. They just don't want to talk to you anymore. And there's a time and a place for that, and I'm all for it. And honestly, as a church, we have witnessed, we have canvassed this entire neighborhood. We've had a map where we've, every house, at least three times. So there's a time and a place for it. But you need to be prayed up. You need to be prayed for. You need to be spirit-led. Amen? But what we can do every day, witnessing is not an event. It's a life. It's not an event. It's a lifestyle. Just telling people your story. Talking about what God's done in your life. Posting on Facebook like that. About how their life had changed. You know, now, you know, everybody's so anti-social media. Let me tell you something. Social media is reaching people we never would have been able to reach. Everything has a good, you know, those kind of things. They have a dark side, but man, they can be used for the kingdom. Every time you check in for church, you know what you're telling people? It's a priority for me. A priority for me. I'm here, and it's a priority, and I want you all to know. That used to be, you know, call all your friends up. Hey, I'm going to church. Just want to let you know I'm going to be in church. Now all you got to do is go on Facebook. Check in. Everybody knows where you are. Everybody knows what's important to you. And I think that's powerful. I think it's very powerful. And so how do I share my faith? I got to connect with people, and I share my story. I share my story. And then the last thing, number three. And this is a good one. Invite them to a place they can experience God. Don't keep sharing your story and talking to somebody about Jesus. And if you feel led to lead them to in salvation, that's great. But usually what's most effective is just invite them to church. They say, hey, what's happened to your life? Come and see. Why are you so different? Come and see. Come and see. And do like Jesus did. When Jesus was in the village and Zacchaeus, the tax collector, when he was there, is that the right name? Yeah. When he was there, a tax collector in that time, it would be like what we would call corrupt, a scoundrel. One commentary calls it a dirty politician. Somebody said, we've met one, right? We've met a few. And so he wanted to know about Jesus. He wanted to know about Jesus. Now this guy is like what we would call like just the opposite of anybody who would want to be in church or go to church. I mean, this guy is cheating people and living a crazy life and all this kind of stuff. But you know what Jesus did? Jesus took him to lunch. Jesus took him to lunch. He wanted to know him. And Jesus said, let's go to lunch. And after the lunch, we don't know what happened at the lunch because Luke obviously wasn't invited. It's in the book of Luke. He wasn't invited, I guess. But we know this. When he came out of the lunch, he said, whoever I've cheated, I'll pay him back four times more. He goes, whatever I've done, I'll make it right. I'm a follower of Jesus. What happened in that lunch? But here's what I want you to see. When he came to Jesus, Jesus didn't start telling him, you're a big cheater. You know you're a dirty, rotten politician. You know you're this, you know you're that, you know you're this. No, Jesus received him, took him to lunch. And in that lunch, obviously, shared the truth with him about who he was. People need to know Jesus. And so what can I do to share my faith? I need to connect with people. I need to share my story. And I need to bring them to a place they can experience God. Let me read this to you out of the Message Bible. This is the 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 through 5. It's out of the Message, so just listen. He says, you'll remember, friends, this is Paul writing, that when I first came to you to let you in on God's master stroke, listen, I didn't try to impress you with polished speeches and the latest philosophy. I deliberately kept it plain and simple. Listen, you want to know how to share your faith? First Jesus and who he is. And then Jesus and what he did. Jesus crucified. First Jesus and who he is. Then Jesus in what he did. People do not care how much you know until they know how much you care. Isn't that the truth? First Jesus in who he is. God is love. And then Jesus and what he did. Christ Jesus crucified. He said, I was unsure of how to go about this and felt totally inadequate. I was scared to death. Anybody like that? As soon as anybody asks you about Jesus, you're like, I don't know anything. I don't know the books of the Bible. I don't even know there's an Amos. I don't know anything. Because the enemy will certainly come and say, some of you are like, there's a what? The enemy will come and say, you don't know anything. Who are you to tell anybody about Jesus? Who are you to share? Who are you to say anything? No, you just pipe down. This is Paul the Apostle, and he's saying, I felt totally inadequate. I was scared to death, Paul said. And I bet that some people in here. He says, if you want the truth of it, and so nothing I said could have impressed you or anyone else, but the message came through anyway. Why? God's Spirit and God's power did it, which made it clear that your life of faith is a response to God's power. Listen, not to some fancy mental or emotional footwork by me or anyone else. Isn't that good? It's not about being fancy. It's not about using big words. It's not about dispensations and books of the Bible. It's not about that. It's about who Jesus is, what Jesus did, Jesus crucified. Amen. That's what it's about. And as soon as we open our mouths, just like with Paul, we can feel totally inadequate. We can be scared to death. But just like with Paul, he says, but it came through anyway because of God's Spirit and God's power. Amen. God's Spirit and God's power. We're called to be witnesses. Amen? We're called to be witnesses. And so I just got to connect with people. And then I'm going to tell them my story. And then I'm going to bring them to church. And the whole time I'm just going to say, listen, it's all about who Jesus is. Jesus is the King of Kings. He is the Son of God. And he loves you more than you could even imagine. And he's not just all talk and no action. He loves you so much, he died on a cross for you. That's not a fairy tale. That's not a made-for-TV movie. That is reality. It happened. It happened. It happened. And so how do I share my faith? Let's connect. Let's share our story. You say, well, I don't have a story. You do have a story. Don't sell yourself short. What has God done for you? Where were you before you found Jesus? And those of you, some people say, man, I've been in church my whole life. I don't have a story. You have the best story. Amen. You have the best story. Some people are like, oh, I need a better story. No, your story is the one God's going to use for the people that God puts in your life. Amen? And so when we see this, what Paul said, he said, it's not some fancy mental or emotional footwork by me or anyone else. Don't think you got to stand behind something or speak to lots of people. It's not about that. People are looking for what you have. They're already looking for you. If you'll let your light shine, people will come. Amen? People will come. If you'll take the time to connect, because last night at the grocery store when that guy said that, I could have just been, when he said, is it somebody's birthday? I could have just said no. No. And walked out. But I took the time to connect. To connect with him. Share your story. You got a good story. You got a good story. And recognize it's not your job to defend God. God will show himself real to everyone. It's not my job to prove that God exists. God can take care of himself. Amen. It's my job to be a witness. That's my job. Everybody loves to talk about themselves. This is your opportunity. Amen. Talk about what God did in you. And you will find that if you'll take the time to connect, you got some family members that aren't in church, connect with them. Do good deeds for them. Amen. That's what it says, let your light shine. Let them see your good works as you glorify your Father. What do people need? What do people need around you? Got a family member that doesn't know the Lord? Just start loving them unapologetically. Just love them with everything you've got. Love on them. Do what Jesus did for Zacchaeus. Take him to lunch. You know, when I was in the workplace and I'd invite people to church, I would always say, come to church, I'll take you to lunch. I'll take you to lunch. Sometimes it was Taco Bell because that's all the money I had, but I took them. Amen. But you know what? It gave me an opportunity. It gave me an opportunity for all the things that they wanted to talk about church. Boom, there we are sitting in Taco Bell. Hey, how come people raise their hands? What was going on there when this happened? Well, why were they laying hands on people? What was happening there? Listen, don't just bring them in and forget them. Connect with them. Don't feel like you got to have all the answers. And if you feel inadequate, just be like, listen, I feel just like Paul. Doesn't that sound good? I feel just like the Apostle Paul who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. I feel inadequate and frankly scared to death, but I'm going to do it anyway. And it's going to be God's spirit and God's power that's going to make it happen. Not your fancy footwork, not your big words, not all the stuff you know from the Bible, not what you learned on the History Channel, none of that. People want to know, is God real and is he personal? That's what people want to know. Is God real and is he personal? It's not about what we know about God. It's that we know God. We know him. Jesus, who he is. Jesus, what he's done. Jesus, crucified. That's what it's all about. Let's pray together. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here today that doesn't know you, that they're like I was several years ago. I didn't know you. I knew of you. I knew about you, but I didn't know you. I never made my relationship with you personal by receiving you as my personal Lord and Savior. I never opened up my heart and said, God, I want to give you all of me for all of you. Maybe you're here today and you're like I was. But you know what? Just like I did and so many others, you can make Jesus personal today by receiving him as your Lord and Savior. It's not about who he is to everybody else. It's about who he is to you. Let him be your personal Savior today. Say, how do I do that? The Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So if you're here today and you want to call on the name of the Lord, you want to call out to him to be your Lord and your Savior, now's your opportunity. With every head bowed and every eye closed, just for a minute, you say, Peggy, that's me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. I want to call on his name and make our relationship personal. If that's you, just raise your hand up big and tall. Say, why do I have to raise my hand? Because when you raise your hand, you raise your heart. You're saying, Lord, see me. See me make this decision. See me say yes to you. See me. Anybody like that? Oh, I thank you, Lord. I trust that we're all already in a personal relationship with you. We already know you. We love you. We worship you. We follow you. And Lord, we just thank you for opportunities all this week, opportunities wherever we go to share our story and connect, to be a witness for you. Let our light shine. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. People need what we have. Amen. They need who, not what we have, who we have. I correct myself. They need who we have. They need Jesus. Let's receive our offering today, our supernatural tithes and offering.